Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Lalitangi Radha Mataji to enlighten us on topic of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 16. Hare Krishna, Lalitangi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining and giving your valuable assistance this morning. We are very fortunate to have you on the call today. Thank you so much. Please take over, Mataji. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Am I audible, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. So, yeah, indeed, I am only so fortunate to be hearing these everyday lectures. I don't know if you are fortunate or it's your destiny to hear me today. But yeah, all of us are made very fortunate by Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, our spiritual masters, and our Siksha Gurus, various speakers who come on the call. And thank you, Vinita Mataji, Shama Gauri Mataji, Kirtira Mataji, and Kriti Mataji, Yudhu Mataji, all the other Matajis for running this platform so nicely that, you know, this is Shravanam is the best thing that we can do. And then you put so much of effort to get the speakers and then put it online. Record it anytime we want, we can go back and hear that. So much of hard work by all of you Matajis and your team. So many Matajis behind the screen making this possible. So my humble obeisances to all of you for this. And personally very much benefited by hearing these classes. So thank you so much for that. So let's begin with prayers. ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरूप्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मोकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरीं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवम श्री चैतन्यमीश्वरम हरि ओम तत्सत्। सो वी आर इन चैप्टर 16 ऑफ टीचिंग्स ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य। सो बिफोर स्टार्टिंग आई वुड लाइक टू रीड अ लिटिल बिट फ्रॉम दिस बुक आवर फैमिली बिजनेस बाय हिज ग्रेस वैशेषिक प्रभु about the printing of teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So this was in 1968. Basically, 1960, Prabhupada was struggling till 1966. And then 1 year, you know, he tried to establish in
26th Second Avenue, and then from there he flew to San Francisco. That was his first flight in his life that he took, because he came by ship to US. So, and then after that, we know that how he had a heart attack, and not a heart attack, I think it was like a stroke, and he was in the hospital, and then he had to go to India to recuperate. So he was leaving his very, very young disciples and maybe two centers, going to India to Vrindavan. And then basically he started his mission in 1968. But yeah, so by this time, I'm just reading from this book, by this time, Srila Prabhupada had also finished writing Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Jayananda Das gave $5,000 toward the printing, but Srila Prabhupada had no place to print it or a solid plan how to sell it. It was at this juncture that Srila Prabhupada began to consider getting a press beyond the two small mimeograph machines. He needed a full service operation. Devotees who could do layout, photo finishing, typesetting, folding, and binding. Into 1968, however, the idea of ISKCON starting its own full-scale press and possibly printing the TLC remained on hold. Srila Prabhupada and his disciples continued to weigh their options. So I'm skipping something in that. I'm just summarizing what happened after that. That they tried sending the Bhagavad Gita manuscripts. The original manuscript that Prabhupada wrote, which was 1,000 pages, was stolen in India only. So then again he wrote it, and then he wanted to wanted his disciples to find a publisher. Ginsberg's, Allen Ginsberg's friends and others said that, I mean, who will read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, which page after page says about devotional service to the Lord? And so what commercial value does it have? Who's going to read that except for a devotee? So they all advised that, you know, it's hard to find a publisher for this. And Brahmananda Prabhu was saying, I had absolutely no faith, therefore, that any publisher would take it. It had no commercial value. So, and then Prabhupada made a record, the Hare Krishna album, singing the Hare Krishna mantra and the devotees repeating in chorus. And this record was made in 1968. And George Harrison later told that he got this record and he was hearing that. And he was looking for devotees until 1970, where he met them. So one day there was an envelope that came requesting for this record from an employee in Macmillan Company. So Prabhupada said that you personally hand deliver this and ask them that if they can print a publish a Bhagavad Gita. So he came, and when Brahmananda Prabhu went there, he found that the person who ordered that was an ordinary accountant, and he had no say in managerial decisions of publishing or not. But while he was talking to him, the head of the publisher department came inside, senior editor, he came inside, and the accountant introduced Brahmananda Prabhu to him, and immediately he remembered Srila Prabhupada's words. And he said, Brahmananda said that he had a Gita by an Indian Swami to publish. And that editor said, great, our religion department has everything but a Bhagavad Gita, we will publish it. So it was like, you know, in one sentence he agreed without even seeing it. So he came back, and when he came back and told Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada heard the news, Brahmananda recounts, he reacted as if he were expecting it. That was the reaction. And then, so this happened by 1967. Srila Prabhupada had heard of the respected Japanese publishing company, Dai Nippon. And in 1968, he published the TLC with them, that is Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The Macmillan abridged edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is was finally available in 1969. The devotees not only read these two books, but also sold them to bookstores wherever they could. Still, sales were slow. So there are only two books in the beginning. That is, of all the books, the first book that came published in our movement was Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which came in 1968, even before the Bhagavad Gita by the Macmillan Company in 1969. So, and yeah, it's, and Prabhupada is giving the so many letters, how we have to read it and how to publish it. So we can see that even before Prabhupada got Bhagavad Gita printed, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya was printed. So how much, you know, the value of this book is amazing, that the early readers, they didn't have any small books, any other books except for Teachings of Lord Chaitanya for 1 year, and then came Bhagavad Gita. One more small couplet. With the new TLCs finally on their way to America from Dai Nippon, Srila Prabhupada began thinking of ways to market them. In a letter to Brahmananda, May 6, 1969, he wrote, there are about 1,000 stores in New York at least. So if they take 3 copies each, we immediately distribute 3,000 copies. Similarly, in the other big cities, we can distribute at least 1,000 in each city. There are at least 25 important cities in your country. So in each city, if we distribute at least 1,000 copies, there is a potency of distributing 25,000 copies in your country only. What to speak of other countries like England or any other part of the world where English is spoken? So it requires only organization. So that is the glory of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada. So we have been hearing a continuous series of lectures in this by many, many great devotees. And so
Teachings of Lord Chaitanya is basically a summary of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, mainly. So Rupa Goswami is chapter 1. And then of course, later part is Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So we are in the teachings of to Sanatana Goswami. So who is Sanatana Goswami? How he was saved by Lord Chaitanya, Dhabir Kas and Sakharam Malik, how they were given names because they were the... In fact, I heard that the Nawab threatened them that if they wouldn't join his service, he would kill thousands and thousands of Hindus just if they refused to join him. So seeing that, you know, so much crime and other things and people would, and they don't threaten for namesake, they really do it. I have also heard that Aurangzeb would not eat breakfast until there are at least a thousand heads which has shikas are reported to him. That means which are Brahmanas. So in order to avoid this big massacre, they were forced. Because why Nawab wanted? Because they were the most intelligent. And there was no equal to them. So he thought that if kingdom is maintained by these two most intelligent men, then I can be free to expand it. I can put my energy in conquering the neighboring kingdoms and expand it. So he actually virtually forced them to take up the service, and because of that they were not considered to be part of the Orthodox Hindu community, although they are originally from Saraswat Brahmana community. And it is, I heard that in Ramakeli, even when they were serving the Nawab in secret, they had.
Mataji, your voice is breaking, Mataji, a little bit. There is some kind of sound coming.
Is it okay now?
Mataji, we still hear disturbance, Mataji. It's breaking up and there's disturbance, Mataji. Sorry.
Is it okay?
Yeah, Mataji, speak, Mataji. If I feel this again, I have to interrupt you.
Okay, is this okay? I put it in
still
speaker.
I feel that voice, disturbance voice is coming, Mataji.
Should I log out and log in again?
Yeah, Mataji, please try to do that, Mataji.
Okay. I'm sorry for this. Go off video. If there is any problem, we can try to go off video. Okay, so in Ramakeli, they were even when they were serving Nawab, they were having their own bhajan kutir, where they had Srimad Bhagavatam constantly reading going on and chanting. And so this is even before they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they were, you know, great Nitya Siddhas, devotees who came down, descended along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help establish his movement, and how he's taking humble position and asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basic questions about who am I and why am I suffering, so that all of us can relate, because we are in that level, and so that all of us can relate. Sanatan Goswami is asking such questions, and then when coming to God, how he's explaining that, you know, the different forms of the Lord, different avatars, and oh wow, it's a mind-boggling explanation of all the avatars. I was thinking, where from would we get such a treasure and information in depth if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given this? It's no way that we can find out such a concise and clear explanation of the avatars, even if we search around all Puranas and Upanishads. First of all, they should be available for us now in Kali Yuga, and we should be available to, you know, read them. Kali Yuga means struggling even to make both ends meet materially. So that is a question of peace for spiritual education. So it is a great blessing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he gave the essence of all the scriptures, and then he's boiling down to Krishna, how beautiful the Lord is, what is the opulence of the Lord, and then how the Lord is conquered by service, and then who is a devotee, and what are the different kinds of devotional services that a devotee performs, and the different levels that he advances in his bhakti yoga ladder. Then chapter 15 starts the explanation of the Atmarama verse, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatan Goswami is asking Lord Chaitanya, can you please explain the Atmarama verse that you explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? So just to give an introduction, just we'll read a little bit about that. So what is Atmarama verse? Lord Chaitanya next explained to Sanatana Goswami a very famous verse known as the Atma Rama verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim Ittam Bhuta Guno Harihi. The general meaning of this verse is that those who are liberated souls and are fully satisfied within themselves will eventually become devotees of the Lord. This especially describes the impersonalists who have no information of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They try to remain satisfied with the impersonal Brahman, but Krishna is so attractive and so strong that he attracts their minds. So this is the purpose of this verse. So we heard from Shankaranand Prabhu, very beautiful class, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the different levels of meanings of this verse to Sanatana Goswami. There, with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained 18 different meanings. But here, to Sanatana Goswami, he explained more than 60
I think 63 different meanings for this particular verse. So we can imagine, I mean, it's not difficult for him to do that because he says, Vedan Sakrit, Vedavit, Eva Chaham. So I am the compiler of the Vedas and I am to be, I know the Vedas completely. And in fact, I am to be known by the Vedas. And so Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mukhyanti Yatsurayaha. So this was Krishna's flute when Lord Brahma heard that and also enriched with his own austerities, then he understood how to create. So that's what we know. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this scholarly pastimes also with Kesho Kashmiri. So there also when Kesho Kashmiri recited 100 verses, like a wind on the bank of Ganga, glorifying Mother Ganga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the 55th verse and he was at that time around 10 to 12 years, I'm not exactly sure, around that years. And according to his years, he's just a student of, initial student of grammar of Sanskrit. Just like, you know, if a 10-year-old means, then we know that he'll be in the fourth grade or fifth grade like that. And we also know what is the level of a fourth grade and fifth grade student. But if a fourth grade student is able to defeat a PhD, giving him the things that boggles him, the PhD student, then we can imagine. So that's what Lord Chaitanya did. Even when he was 10 years old, repeated the 55th verse and he spoke of many good qualities of those verses grammatically. And also he spoke the faults in that verse and what why it is fault and regarding what grammatic rules that it broke, everything in detail. So that made Kesho Kashmiri stunned. That this knowledge of this clarity and this depth is not even known to me. How come a small boy who's just the initial student of grammar can do this? So he cannot be an ordinary student. And then, you know, Mother Saraswati revealed to him that he's a Supreme Lord. And also we heard that one time he wrote a commentary. I don't know if it is a Bhashya or if it is a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. But when his friends, he was crossing Ganga and then this was when he was still studying. And then they said that, oh, you wrote a commentary, then, you know, who will hear ours? So with no second thought, he threw that into Ganga. So we can see that, you know, all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left is his teachings to these great devotees and also Sikshastakam. So this is the basic of the basics of this verse. What Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying is, he's taking different meanings of each word and the different meanings of each word with a combination of the different meanings of other words and explaining it in such a way that everybody will eventually have to become the devotees of the Lord. And the connecting thread is that to become the devotees of the Lord, anybody who has an association of a pure devotee, no matter where they are in spiritual life, they can eventually become the devotees of the Lord. That is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation of this verse. So, now going to 16. So this is conclusion of teachings of Sanatana Goswami. In summary, he's saying he's saying some more meanings of Atmarama verse. And then since his whenever he says a meaning, he connects it to how they can be elevated by the association of pure devotees. And then he gives a history for that is Narada Muni elevating regarding, we heard the story also from Prabhu. So after telling the history, then he goes on to explain further meanings. And he also asks Sanatan Goswami to write a book on Vaishnava ethics. Then when Sanatana Goswami says that, I don't know anything what to write, anything to explain, then he says what he has to write in the book. And Sanatana Goswami takes notes of that. So after explaining this, then he says that how glorious is Srimad Bhagavatam. That is a summary of this chapter. So we'll read
here and there from this and then we try to understand. Of course, it's not possible to understand fully. I am putting a disclaimer now only. I'm not even a student of this knowledge. I'm just trying because this is our service. Our founder Acharya had written this book and we have to study it in service to him and discuss it among ourselves. So that's the only motivation to do this. So here he's continuing that Atma Rama means basically people who are impersonalist. And persons who cultivate knowledge for liberation are of three kinds. Those who simply desire liberation, those who are liberated already, even while in this material existence, and those who are actually self-realized. So when I was going through the Madhya Leela chapter, I forgot, 24 or something, it's a amazing level of information on this. That is, of course, we know that Lord Krishna is one of the opulences. He's completely all knowledgeable. And also, he has empowered his devotee to make a summary of that. That is not an easy thing at all. To make a summary of such a in-depth, elaborate subject matter into one chapter, Srila Prabhupada has really done a genius work. So if anyone wants further clarifications, we can go to that chapter. And also, we remember
how painstakingly Kirtida Mataji, Priti Mataji and other speakers have spoken in depth on this Atma Rama verse, and they have helped us cross this ocean. It's really an ocean. So what is this? There are many persons in this world who desire liberation. And sometimes they engage in devotional service for this purpose. It is corroborated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's go to this verse. So what exactly? We can see that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives, whenever he says a meaning, he gives a Shastric reference from other Puranas and especially from Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is from 1.2.26. Mumukshavo Gorarupan Hitva Bhuta Patinata Narayana Kalashanta Bhajantihi Anasuya Vaham. Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious and they respect all. Yet they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all blissful forms of Lord Vishnu and his plenary portions. How can one say that mumukshavo ghora rupan, horrible and ghastly? So they are not, the devotees are not calling the forms of demigods horrible and ghastly because of enviousness. That is why it is mentioned, non-envious. They don't have any hatred towards them. Because why? Because as devotees, they respect all. But still, that they reject to worship them on a level equal to with the forms of Lord Vishnu and his plenary portions. Why? Because it's an offense to compare the whole supreme whole to his part and parcel. And so it is offensive to compare that. And also, what is the result of worshipping the demigods is not the same as worshipping Lord Vishnu or his powerful forms. So that's what he's, Srila Prabhupada is explaining this. The first thing, if anyone does so, he becomes at once an offender by the name Pashandi. In the age of Kali, many foolish persons commit such unlawful offenses and equalize two categories. That's what, you know, Sanatan Dharma, first of all, the name itself is gone. In the name of Hinduism, what is everything, the whole world considers this, the kids even study this, even now, currently it is in the books that it is a polytheistic religion. Anybody can become God. So, I mean, they make fun that there are so many gods. So no wonder there are so many godmen also, each one claiming to be God. So we have a great deal of work in this regard. And also the other reasons why the demigods are not worshipped. So here he's saying, the separated parts and parcels are different positions in the estimation of material powers. And some of them are like Kala Bhairava, Smashana Bhairava, Shani, Mahakali, and Chandika. These demigods are worshipped mostly by those who are in the lowest categories of the mode of darkness or ignorance. Other demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Surya, Ganesha, and many similar deities are worshipped by men in the mode of passion, urged on by the desire for material enjoyment. But those who are actually situated in the mode of goodness, sattva guna of material nature, worship only Vishnu tattvas. Vishnu tattvas are represented by various names and forms such as Narayana, Dhamodara, Vamana, Govinda, and Adokshaja. So this is a clear distinction between the demigod worshippers and the Vishnu worshippers. Mahaprabhu quotes this verse to make this point clear that even those people, they who desire liberation, they would give up the demigod worship without envy on them, but concentrate their minds on worship of Narayana. And this is supported by this verse from Hari Bhakti Shuddhodaya, which says, "O great soul, although there are many flaws within this miserable life, yet there is one glory, the association of pure devotees. Cultivate such association. By it, our desire for liberation diminishes." So this is the point, the title of this chapter, and this is what Mahaprabhu is going to establish with many, many proofs from Srimad Bhagavatam. So here he explains that what is the reason for fear? So the reason for fear, this verse is a famous verse also. Bhayam dvitiya viniveshatha syat ishat apetasya viparyayo smritihi tanmayayato buddha abhajat etam bhaktyai kayesham guru devatatma. So this is also an often quoted verse. And here the translation is, fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as a material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. So this is a famous verse for many reasons, because it touches upon many, many different points. But let's concentrate on that point about why fear arises. And the first three lines are nice. According to Sridhara Swami, the objection may be raised that since fear is caused by ignorance, it can be dispelled by knowledge, and there is no need to worship the Supreme Lord. The living entity falsely identifies with this material body, family, society, and so on, and he simply has to give up this false identification. Then what will Maya be able to do? So this is a nice argument that Sridhara Swami gives. And then in reply to this argument, he quotes the verse 7.14. Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya dhuratyaya mamevaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Just by ignorance, by vanquishing the ignorance, by ourselves getting the knowledge, if we can cross over Maya, then Krishna wouldn't have put emphasis on surrender. Maam evaye prapadyante, Maya metam tarantite. So
by knowledge only the difficult material nature cannot overcome, be overcome. But we need to surrender to the Lord. And what happens when we surrender to the Lord? It is He who gives that knowledge to overcome the material world. So again, one more verse he quotes, I think 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadani buddhi yogantam enama upayantite. So Krishna takes that responsibility of enlightening our hearts of with knowledge. By he is taking the responsibility to do that. What is our thing is just concentrate on doing devotional service. So the conclusion is that no one can attain a revolution in consciousness without engaging in devotional service to the Lord. So just by acquiring knowledge, this cannot be done. Only by devotional service, when the Lord is pleased, then He takes that responsibility of vanquishing the darkness of ignorance by light of knowledge. Then He also says this 10.14.4 verse, which is very famous again, that Krishna consciousness, intentionally engaging in Krishna consciousness, is the only way. If there are some people who intentionally avoid, they are simply troubled. And after even attaining that destination, see, without such devotional service, the living entity falls into material contamination. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya concluded his teaching to Sanatana Goswami by pointing out that six kinds of Atma Ramas are transcendentalists, engage in some kind of devotional service to Krishna. Even if one is very learned or extravagant, he can still engage in devotional service of the Lord. So who are the six kinds of transcendentalists? First is neophyte transcendentalists, the absorbed transcendentalists, one who is situated in transcendence, one who desires liberation, and one who is actually liberated. So we can see the Sanskrit names in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24. And so all of these Atma Ramas, so just the word Atma Rama, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is classifying into different kinds of transcendentalists. And the mystic, first thing is that the mystic or the yoga, the Atma Ramas who are yogis, they are of two kinds, Sagarbha and Nigarbha. Sagarbha means one who is meditating on the form of the super soul of the Lord within their heart. And Nigarbha is one who is meditating on the aspect of the energies of the Lord that is present in different chakras. Like Krishna says, Aham Vaishva Naro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrutaha Pranapana Samayutaha Pacham Yannam Chaturvidam. So Krishna is present as Vaishva Nara Agni in the abdomen. So they elevate by and then the Lord is present at the heart as the seat of all energies. So like that way, by Nigarbha means connecting to the Lord through His presence of His all-powerful energies and His impersonal aspect. So such Atma Rama yogis are called Nigarbha yogis. And they are further divided into three categories, each of them, the beginner, the advanced yogi, and who has attained the perfection. So this is explained in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 6. You know that the beginner is Aru Ruksha yogi and the advanced is Yoga Ruda, one who has achieved perfection. So if such a mystic yogi somehow or other comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes a devotee of Krishna, because they might have avoided the aspect of devotional service to the Lord or bhakti yoga. But ultimately, without devotional service, it doesn't satisfy, and it doesn't, you know, their achievement of perfection is not perfect. So what is the hope for them now? They have almost achieved perfection in mystic yoga. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if such a mystic yogi somehow or other comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes a devotee of Krishna. And the word Urukrama, we saw that means the Lord who is performing
Adbhuta, a wonderful activities which causes so much astonishment. So all the Atma Ramas are engaged in devotional service to Urukrama. Before engaging in devotional service, such transcendentalists are called Shantas or pacified devotees. So this is one explanation. Then he comes to the word Atma, and now he is giving different explanation to the word Atma. The word Atma is sometimes translated as mind. Then Atma Ramas means, in that sense, it represents mental speculators or who present philosophical theories. So we saw, right, this is the Sagarbha and Nigarbha. The yogis begin the practice of yoga by worshipping the abdomen, and then they try to concentrate their attention on their intestines. Gradually, their meditation rises to the heart, and then they concentrate the mind there. Then they gradually direct their attention to the top of the head. One who can raise his meditation to that position is understood to have become perfect and to be no longer subject to birth and death. So this is very detailedly explained in this verse with what does the heat chakra mean, and what is the difference between Sagarbha and Nigarbha yogis. So he again, he concludes that even such yogis render costless devotional service to the Lord when they come in contact with pure devotees. So Atma, when it's taken in mind, it represents the mental speculators. Then another meaning of Atma is endeavor. So for endeavor, this is a very nice verse. Maybe even though there's no time, we'll just see this. Because endeavor, this verse says that where we have to put the endeavor in our life. So this is a COVID verse. You can ask, because that word COVIDO is here. And COVIDO means one who is philosophically inclined. Hopefully, by this COVID, you know, we all become more and more philosophically inclined, and the whole world starts to question, why is this suffering? You know, why are we subjected to this, and what we are supposed to do? Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate yad brahmata upari yadaha tal labhyate dukkavat anyatha sukam kalena sarvatra rabira ramhasa. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet down to the lowest planet. That is what is worth endeavoring for. Then what about endeavoring for happiness? Shouldn't we endeavor for material happiness? For that, you know, the verse says, as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in course of time, we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. Nobody works hard to get miseries. We want to run away from miseries, but miseries come in due course of time. Just like miseries come in due course of time, happiness also comes in due course of time. So a person who is Kovida, who is intelligent or philosophically inclined, will not waste his time in endeavoring for something which is anyway going to automatically come on its own. So the endeavor should be only for that which is very, very rare, which cannot be obtained even from Brahma Loka to Patala Loka. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he takes the word of Atma as an endeavor, so he quotes this verse. Yeah. And then what is the conclusion of this verse is that we have, therefore, in the Brihan Naradiya Purana, it is said that one who is serious about understanding the highest perfectional stage of devotional service can become successful simply by his endeavor. So, not only by our endeavor, but by our endeavor, we can please the Lord. Just like this is a verse that we discussed, Tesham Sadata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. How? Tesham is to those Satata Yuktanam, always engaged, Bhajatam in devotional service. Bhaja is worship or devotional service. Priti Purvakam, with love. To them, what he says, Dadani Buddhi Yogam Tam. Dadani is I give, Buddhi Yogam is
the intelligence how to come to me, tam to them, enama upayantite. By that, they can come to me. To those who are constantly rendering devotional service to me with love, I am situated in everyone's heart, give the intelligence by which they can make undeterred progress in devotional service. So, but to get this special privilege from the Lord, we have to do this. Satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. So, but priti purvakam, if we have to engage in spontaneous loving devotional service of the Lord, that is also not a platform that can be jumped about, but that can be gotten by sadhana bhakti. So, devotional service is the only way to get this. It is the only thing that we have to endeavor for. And by that endeavor, which is meaningful, we can go to the Lord. So again, he takes another meaning is dhriti, which is patience or perseverance. So by what is patience or perseverance? That the munis, because they don't take ordinary, you know, they are very, very patient and they persevere also. So such munis, if they are added, if Atma Rama is considered to be those munis, and along with them, he also says about Nirgrantha. Nirgrantha, there are two words. One is the muni also refers to bird or a large black bee. And another meaning of the word Nirgrantha is a foolish person. So this shows that how he is a supreme personality of Godhead. One may, he knows completely, you know, and he also says to Sanatana Goswami, he can go on and on, explain unlimited meanings like this. I mean, deriving the meaning of each word and then in a combination of other word and in a combination how that shloka of attaining devotional service works for everyone. So how it is working for bird, a large black bee, and a foolish person. So there are many different quotations for this. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.14, that is the glories of the birds in Vrindavana, how they are devoted to the service of the Lord. And the black bees in Vrindavana always follow Krishna and Balarama. Very, very beautiful verse, but for want of time, I'm not going into that. In that verse, Sri Krishna describes to Balarama the devotional service the bees were rendering unto him. So Krishna is explaining how the bees, you can see the whole chapter of Vrindavan is about all the living entities performing devotional service of the Lord, and that is very, very nicely described. So let's see this one. O supremely virtuous one, O original personality of Godhead, just see how these bees are following you, glorifying your transcendental fame and thus worshipping you. Actually, these bees are not as they appear. They are great sages who are taking this opportunity to worship the Supreme Soul. Although you are not knowable by ordinary persons, they know you and they are following and glorifying you. So this is Krishna himself speaking a verse on to Balaram about the glories of bees who are not ordinary bees. They are not, but they are great sages, but they are, you know, around him to worship him. So Krishna, again, you know, describes a similar reception by cuckoos of Vrindavana, how he compares that these peacocks are just like damsels of Praja. The cuckoos on the branches of the trees are also receiving you in their own way. The residents of Vrindavan are so glorious that everyone is prepared to render devotional service to the Lord. So like this way, there are many other verses, and the famous one is Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Sumba Yavana Kashadasheha. All these people and other such human beings, basically the whole world now and the races is described in this. Kirata, Huna, Andras, Pulindas, in different directions, different, you know, types of races that is existing now, who are like many, many levels below even a Shudra or a Varnashrama community, they can all be purified simply by taking shelter of pure devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this verse to say that how the association of devotees are working wonders. So coming to another meaning of dhriti is to realize oneself as elevated. And this especially refers to those great transcendentalists such as the Goswamis. means the six Goswamis, as Rupa Goswami says, Vacha Vegam Manasaha Krodha Vegam. So persons whose senses are fixed in the service of the Supreme Lord can be called peaceful. Everybody else whose senses are like octopuses, like, you know, trying to carry, get this, get that, either grossly or subtly, are not peaceful. We can see that, you know, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, how peaceful they were and how they took up this order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to write these glorious literatures. Because of that, that forms the basis of the movement of bhakti now. That even, you know, when Krishna asked Sanatana Goswami, why are you giving just dry roti? At least you can add some salt. But Sanatana Goswami was replying that if I do that, then, you know, I basically, you know, this is the Lord is glorifying his own devotee, how fixed he is in the service of him. He wouldn't even divert to the deity service, and they would only sleep 2 hours or less than that, eat very minimum, live under trees, give up all their wealth, Tyaktva Purna Mashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sada Tuchavat. They were in fact, the leaders of the world, and they sada tuchavat, they gave up everything and kept on writing these literature. So we are very grateful to them. So then again, this Atma Rama indicates that, so he's concluding that. So if it indicates birds, a black bee, or an ignorant fool, everyone can become attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna and engage in his service and become liberated. So this also proves that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said in the last verse of Sikshastakam, Ashlishya va Padaratan Pinastuma Adarshanan Marma Hatam Karatva Yata Tatava Vidatatu Lampado Matprana Natastu Saiva Napara. Lord is the Matprana, his prana. And he is seeing the Lord everywhere. So even if you take the other meanings, in short, he is giving examples that how all the people can become engaged in, be attracted to the transcendental qualities of Krishna and engage in service of the Lord. So another meaning of Atma is intelligence. So intelligence has two kinds. One is a learned sage. Another is a person who is intelligent without book knowledge. So both of these people have understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they render devotional service to him by either understanding it through the scriptures or by hearing. Those who have no access to scriptures, like women, laborers, hunas and shabaras, the birds and the bees. How did they achieve the supreme perfectional stage of life? By the association of a devotee, by hearing from a devotee. So, yeah. So finally, the Lord is summarizing five things. What is that? The Lord then told Sanatana Goswami that the association of good devotees, we have heard this many times, A, B, C, D, E, engagement in the transcendental service of the Lord, understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and residence in a holy place like Vrindavan or Mathura are very important for elevation to the transcendental plane. Even if one practices one of these, the perfection is guaranteed. So the next one is, if you take the word, the meaning of word Atma is nature, that means Swabhava. So anybody who has got any Swabhava, by that they can serve the Lord. And Krishna also for this effect says in the third chapter that Swabhavastu Pravartate. That means what he is saying is the devotional service of the Lord, anybody can do it at any platform. It's sulabham. It's it is available for anyone of any nature to perform, and by Krishna's causeless mercy, they can be elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness. This is a glory of devotional service to the Lord. How, when a person knows about the transcendental qualities of Krishna, then they're attracted and then service automatically follows them. So that's what in the 15th chapter also he says, right? at the end of the 15th chapter, that how one who knows me by this, they serve with intelligence. Same way, aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarvam pravartate. I am the origin of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything comes from me. Iti matva bhajante mam. After knowing this, what a person does? Bhajante mam. Worships me in devotion. Buddha bhava samanvitaha. With a proper bhava. Sentiments that is backed by this knowledge. So that's what he's saying. And if we take Atma to be meaning as body, that is also refers to the yogis who do bodily exercises. And even then, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, this is like a refrain for this chapter. They also engage in the transcendental service of the Lord. And there are many quotations for that. He explains that how the sages and, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam says that how they were inspired to do devotional service of the Lord. Then there is also another meaning to the word Nirgrantha. This Nirgrantha is a foolish hunter. And this story we heard from Shankaranand Prabhu, the conversation between Narada Muni and this hunter. Basically, the hunter wanted to chastise Narada Muni for coming in his way into the forest and making all his prey run away, the animals. But because of Narada Muni's association, he did not commit that offense. So that was a very beautiful point. The hunter became very angry at this and he was just about to call Narada wild names. But due to the influence of saintly Narada, the hunter could not utter such blasphemies. So that is the glory of the association of the Lord. And then he's starting to converse and the hunter is understanding for the first time. And by the strength, you know, hunter is, his life is, you know, gone. Even if he lives also, he continues to incur sinful activities. If he dies also, he's going to go to hell. But such a hunter, who does nothing from his part, just by the influence of the association of the saintly Narada Muni, he turned completely opposite that. He wouldn't even want to hurt an ant. So then finally Narada Muni and I think Parvata Muni comes and you know, this is again the very nice, this is a story that is told by the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya himself. So we can imagine how important it is. So then when he concludes that, Sanatana Goswami is saying to the Lord that you are none other than the Supreme Lord for being able to do such a in-depth explanation of this. So for that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is replying, why are you glorifying me? This Srimad Bhagavatam is such literature that you see, and he also gives the this verse as a quotation. After Krishna departed to his abode with all religious principles, his representation, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahapurana, remains as a blazing, illuminating sun. And how Srimad Bhagavatam is glorious, and it can change anybody from, and he's saying that this is only one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And like this way, the whole of many, many, many verses, if you can imagine how much amounts of meaning can be derived from all the 18,000 verses and each one of them explained in depth like this. So no wonder Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was, you know, during his Annaprashna time, he not only touched Srimad Bhagavatam, he embraced Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so, and again, after finally saying everything, I was just like a madman in describing this Atmarama verse in so many ways. Do not mind if I have said something mad. But if someone becomes a madman like me, he can understand the real meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam as I have explained it. Then he's saying that you asked me to prepare a book on the regulative principles of devotional service, but I don't know how humble. Now, please give me some more hints. So in that, he's saying about, you know, you write down the symptoms of a true guru, symptoms of a true disciple, and how, where it is explained in Padma Purana. and who can become a spiritual master, not only that who's born in a Brahmana family, but also if he, the birth is not a matter. We see that even if he is born in a family of dog eaters, if he knows Krishna Tattva, he can be the a spiritual master. Then how he's saying that the four different Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, and how, you know, this is the point that there were spiritual masters who were not born in the Brahmana family were accepted as spiritual masters. And what are the qualities of a disciple? What he should look to make progress? And what happens? How the mantra initiation should be done? What is the morning duties and duties of cleanliness? Even washing the face, brushing the teeth and so on. And the prayers to be recited both morning and evening and applying tilaka. How to wash the temple, room and the temple of the Lord, how all process of deity worship and Shalagram Shila worship, how many times aarti has to be performed, how to do the offering, and what are all the paraphernalia should be used, how these things should be cleaned, and what are the regulative principles of Purascharana, accepting Krishna Prasadam, cleanliness. So everything in detail, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, and also about Ekadasi vow and how to observe fasting on Janmashtami, Vamana Dwadasi, Rama Navami and Narasimha Chaturthasi. All these festivals they are now celebrating because of Sanatana Goswami writing down in the book, I think it is Hari Bhakti Vilas, that he also takes painstakingly takes quotations from various different Puranas and Upanishads to tell his point, to support what he's writing. And at every step, Lord Chaitanya said, Sanatana Goswami should give documentary evidence from the Puranas. There was no internet. he has to get the manuscripts and do this. Amazing. Thus, the Lord gave a summary of all the topics Sanatana should include in his book on Vaishnava regulative principles. Yeah, then Sanatana Goswami is glorified in Chaitanya Chandrodaya, that how, where it is said that Sanatana Goswami was one of the most important personalities in the government of Nawab Hussain Shah. Sanatana's brother Rupa Goswami was also a minister in the government, but both of them gave up their lucrative government posts to become mendicants and serve the Supreme Lord. Externally, the brothers became just like ordinary mendicants, but their hearts were filled with transcendental loving service and a great love for the cowherd boy of Vrindavana. Indeed, Sanatana Goswami was dear to all pure devotees of his time. And we know how he did the circumambulation of Govardhan every single day. And also he had wonderful relationships with all the Vaishnavas in the villages. And with all that, Sanatana Goswami has written, a wealth of knowledge and realization, and given us the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the meaning of Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Ena Bhutale. So they both brothers have contributed a lot to establish the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please forgive my mistakes. I was just reading along with you all. As I told you, I'm not even nowhere, novice also in the subject matter. So, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Hare Krishna, Lalpangi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji, for such a beautiful class summarizing the whole chapter. And going on to the Bhagavad Gita verses, Bhagavata verses, you did so many, you have quoted from so many different places, and you made us to explain how important the association of a devotee and how important of Srila Prabhupada books reading. And I really like the one, but in the beginning you have read about the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Bhagavad Gita books that have first been published by Srila Prabhupada, how they did so much of hard work to that books to come out, but Very beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Mataji. I really like the point that you are telling, that there is no other way for us except doing devotional service to Lord. That's the only way for us to go back to Krishna. And that is only possible by associating with the devotees and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And in the last few paragraphs you were reading, how Sanatan Goswami has given us various details of how to, you know, observe different festivals and I think five important things, Mataji, you were telling, or four. What were the five, Mataji, important things that we need to do? Was it five, Mataji?
Yeah, I think association of are you able to hear?
Yes, Mataji, yes.
Association of devotees, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name of the Lord, executing devotional service, and being in dhams like Vrindavan and Mathura.
Yeah, it's five, Mataji. Yes, five. I remember that. Something today, everything went into brain, Mataji. So good day for me. Usually it doesn't happen. It goes in and out, but today I could hear it very attentively. Thank you, Mataji. Those all five, I think Srila Prabhupada have given us very strictly to follow everything. We go to yatras, we do everything that Sanatana Goswami has instructed us to do. Mataji, yes. Thank you so much for your sweet association. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. We have one raised hand. Anuradha Mataji, please go.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you, Mataji, for explaining everything so clearly once again, Mataji. And it's a conclusion. So you did such a wonderful way of, you know, explaining. Thank you so much, Mataji. Mataji, I have two questions. I don't know if you explained. Please forgive me for that. So if you can quickly come back. In the beginning itself, when he is, you know, distinguishing between the three categories there, he said there is one that is self-realized and one is already liberated. What is the difference, Mataji, already liberated and self-realized?
Yeah, that is, thank you so much, Mataji. You are the queen of questions. And thank
forgive
you
me,
so
Mataji.
Your questions. No, because I'm personally very much benefited by your questions, which are practical, which are philosophical, and, you know, which are in depth, that shows that realization from your heart. Also, thank you so much, Mataji, for all your questions. I'm not
your blessings, Mataji.
Answer that, but yeah, we can let me go to the, this is there in me. I also looked at it's a little slow here. Let me bring it, Mataji, one minute. It's in the 24th chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There, the technical names and the details are given. That's what, you know, amazing. So many verses. And
which
so many.
Which verse, Mataji?
Yeah, I'm just going there.
Okay, okay. If it is too difficult, I can write down and read it. If that is also fine for me.
First, I thought that I would read this, but then this was like going above the head. So, you were asking the first thing, right?
Yeah, the first three, yeah.
In that sense, it is so detailed that each one, I'm not able to exactly figure out what it is, but basically it is Jeevan Mukta is one person thing.
Okay.
The one who is liberated, like while in the thing, and one who is self-realized, and the one who is at the beginning, it refers to impersonalist and who practices okay. Ashtanga Yoga and got perfection. That's what I was trying to find the technical meaning, technical mm-hmm. word for that.
Which verse are you referring to, Mataji? Sorry.
108.
Mataji.
We don't see your screen, yeah.
Oh, okay. Is it now you're able to see?
Yes, ma'am.
Because there are three types of people who worship the Brahman. The first is the beginner. The second is one whose thoughts are absorbed in Brahman. And the third one who's actually merged in the impersonal Brahman. This is with respect to, because this chapter starts with about impersonalist, right? I think
yes. This is it.
But yeah, let me go back. And this was somewhere here, Mataji, around 100 and after 100 verses, because the first one, the previous chapter was covering more major portion of that. And there are so many evidences. So in that, I forget to note what is exactly.
You can always share, Mataji, because others also might have to share their realization. You can share in the speakers.
I will share, Mataji. I will share.
Thank you so much. And in the same line, if you get a distinction, maybe you can explain quickly. Otherwise, you can refer to that as well. The Sagarva and Nigarva. When I read from the chapter, I did not understand what. I mean, though he is saying there are this category, that category, but I did not get it exactly what they are. So if you have read about that or if
that is also that is in this verse which we I did not go into that verse because of I realized that I'll never be able to finish this on time. Let me go to this that verse. It has very nice details on that. So Sagarbha is basically Ashtanga yogi who is concentrating on the Lord's form, who is with the 400 Paramatma form, right? So he is meditating on that. And Nigarbha yogi is the one who is concentrating on the Lord's energies that is present in different chakras, like abdomen.
Oh, yeah.
So there you get this thing that how in the abdomen chakra he is present as Vaishvanara. That thing is there. Then in the navel, how the Lord is present as there is another name of the chakra. Then they are concentrating on the Lord's energy and power that sustains this body that is there in different chakras. And then they rise their vital energy from the different chakras up to the head. And then they are able to attain liberation by attaining perfection in Ashtanga Yoga. That, Vashila Prabhupada in his purport in that 10th canto, he starts with saying that it has so many distractions because you have to get some power to do that, right? That's why they have that Ashta Siddhis. The Ashtanga Yoga practice is about you are doing it yourself, so you should be able to do it. So in the meanwhile, you're bestowed with siddhis or perfections. Anima, lagima, prapya, prakamya. You can go out of this body as and when you want. And you can come here and you can reach anywhere you want by just going throughout. You can imagine, what perfection they should have achieved to go out of the body and come back. Which is beyond defeating the laws of material nature. So what happens is, with that power, it's easy to get distracted. Yeah, so let's go to this verse, 10.87.18. In this verse, in the translation and the purport is very much explaining what you ask. Among the followers of the methods set forth by great sages, those with less refined vision worship the Supreme as present in the region of the abdomen, while the armies worship him as present in the heart, in the subtle center from which all the pranic channels emanate. From there, O unlimited Lord, these worshippers raise their consciousness upward to the top of the head, where they can perceive you directly. Then passing to the top of the head toward the supreme destination, they reach that place from which they will never again fall into this world, into the mouth of death. Here the Shrutis who teach meditational yoga glorify the personality of Godhead. The various processes of yoga are for most part gradual and full of opportunities for destruction. This is actual yoga process. So this distraction only, Srila Prabhupada explains in other places that they get the powers and then that it's like a child who is getting the most cherished toy. And then he starts experimenting with the toy and then his goal is lost. So similarly, who get siddhis, they could also be distracted, starting to experiment with the distraction. With the siddhis that they got. So here in further it seems, this is where we found that aham vaishvanaro bhutva. Neophyte meditators often practice focusing on the super soul secondary presence. It's one of the lower centers of vital energy such as Mooladhana Chakra. So you can see super soul secondary presence at the base of the spine. The Swadhisthana Chakra in the area of the navel, or the Manipura Chakra in the abdomen. Lord Krishna refers to his expansion as Paramatma in the abdominal chakra as follows. This is the verse from 15th chapter, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Dehamastitaha Pranapana Samayuttaha Pachamyannam Chaturvidam. I am the fire of digestion in the bodies of living entities. I join with the air of life, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of food. Lord Vaishvanara presides over digestion and in general bestows the capacity of mobility on animals, humans and demigods. In the judgment of the Shruti speaking this verse, those who limit their meditation to this form of the Lord are less intelligent. Kurpa Drishaha, meaning literally having eyes clouded by dust. Then he explains that, you know, how the people who have raised their meditation on the heart, they are called Arini yogis, and then they go upward. So, thus, even the unsure process of meditational yoga can bear the fruit of pure devotion if it is followed perfectly. So that is the conclusion. But the point is, it is impossible or almost close to impossible to follow it perfectly and attain the destination. That too, there is no possibility of in Kali Yuga. Even for, you know, genuine yogis also, it is hard. Yeah, you can read this more, Mataji, the more information.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much for the references, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Yeah, I just read that through the things and went through. I mean, it's a good reading. Like, it's like reading with all of you. I did not do any extraneous effort to tell anything extra. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Dhanyavad Pranam, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Sukhasagari Mataji was putting some reference here. Can you see in the chat, Mataji?
Oh, 24.132. Okay.
Hi, Bol Mataji. Dhanvar Pranams. Thank you for the beautiful class, Mataji. I was just, when you were saying, I just thought I will give that reference if it's okay with you, Mataji.
Please, Mataji.
For the three types, I was just reading that part too along with you. So that's why I just gave that text number. The first one is he talks of three types of people, right? The first one is who are desiring liberation, and the examples of the four Kumaras and Shukadev Goswami is given that, you know, but when they hear the story, when they hear the pastime of the Lord, they also get converted. And then the second type is the one, you know, the Avishuddha Buddhaya verse, the famous Avishuddha Buddhaya. I think that's the one in 132, the reference I gave, 131. So even though, like, he says that there are two types of people, who seek liberation, and those who get liberated by devotional service, they take up to devotional service, they don't come back, but the other speculators, they again come back to the material world, they fall down again. That's what is mentioned in text 131. So that's the second category. And the third one is one who is Brahman realized. I couldn't find specific verse for that, but I think somewhere in verse 141, there is a mention of Brahman realization that they also again fall down because they neglect to worship, you know, perform devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. I just wanted to add this.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for that reference. Yeah, so this is the Arvind Lakshar Limukta Maninas. Oh, Lotus Eyed One, those who think they are liberated in this life but are without devotional service to you are of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances and rise to the spiritual position to impersonal Brahman realization, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your lotus feet. Yeah. And then this is 132.
That was the type of matter. 131 was what I was trying to refer. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah. But then these are like, and then there is Bilwa Mangal Thakur's. I'm not able to scroll. Yeah, this is Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. And I will also try to see the exact technical terms of that. I should have noted it down, but I think I did not. I will send you that. So these are very good examples of the three kinds of devotees. That's the three kinds of impersonalists or Atma Ramas that's mentioned in the first line, Mataji. Is that okay? Thank you, Sukhasagri Mataji. Am I audible, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. We were able to hear. I don't know another one. And she wrote a message that she's saying.
Okay, okay.
Thank you for both of you, Mataji, Sadhavi Mataji and Mataji Mataji. So are there anybody having any more questions or realizations for Mataji?
Hare Krishna. Yes, I just had one.
Your one is thousands, Mataji.
No, I promise this one is actually one. This one is
thank
actually
you.
One.
No, thank you for your question.
Yeah, actually, this question is, I don't really remember the context that inspired it, so it might be a little bit tangential.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, you know, we hear that whatever varna we are, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, you know, you just engage that nature, that swabhava, I guess, in devotional service. You know, we shouldn't try to change our swabhava, you know, or our varna. Yeah. But at the same time, we also hear that we should try to develop brahminical qualities.
Yeah.
And so what I'm wondering is, what's the difference between trying to develop brahminical qualities and trying to change our nature into Brahmana if we are not Brahmana, if we are Kshatriya, Shudra? I mean, we hear that we're all Shudras in this age, but you know what I mean, you know?
Yes, I remember you asked this question to Chandramouli Maharaj, and then the next class he addressed this question specifically. I think you were not there in the next class, and then he spoke to Tiffany Mataji, I think.
Please. Well, yeah, I remember that question was, you know, if you, yeah. Why, what does it mean to not do your Dharma perfectly? You know, why should
right,
it be?
Right.
But I feel like that was a kind of a different question than this one.
Okay, yeah, something related to this, I remember. Thank you so much. So my understanding is, in one purpose, Prabhupada is mentioning
especially Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga, he 16.123, some of the qualities are for Shudras also, and some of them are for Vaishya, some of them are for Brahmanas. There is a classification in there. Because even all these Varnas, to do their duties properly, they need basic qualities of humility, pridelessness, non-violence, and things like that. A Brahmana is one who is, but with rest, although a person has to acquire these qualities, which is maybe called a Brahmanical qualities, but the qualities that would promote the mode of goodness, they are not encouraged to change the profession. Because it's like this, like if everyone starts to think only, and if only head is remaining in the body, how will the body work? So that kind of the jumping the varna will cause social imbalance. Because only if the social, there is security in that. Like, we need trade, we need food to eat, and we need people to do the, skilled laborers to do the work that, a Brahmana may not know to do. But all of them are like described to be different parts of the body. We need hands, we need legs, we need the head, and we need the stomach, the digestive system, everything. So if these things are in order, then no matter which varna a person is there, where one is situated in this social body, they can all make spiritual progress by doing their allotted services. Like, that's why the Lord says that I am, Brahmanas are my head, Kshatriyas are my arms, and I am, Vaishyas are my stomach, and Shudras are my feet. So, although technically, the head is the most important part, but if there is no leg, the head cannot perform the work of a leg. So, my understanding is they continue to perform their duties, but if by swabhava, if by performing their duties, they have to satisfy Vishnu, then only this Varnashrama will work, right? If they have to satisfy Vishnu, then they will have to perform their work as devotional service to Vishnu, which means that they have to perform devotional service in the mode of goodness. So for that, the favorable qualities are there. So that is my understanding, that they also have to develop these qualities to offer their nature of work as a service to the Lord. Is that make sense?
So you're saying that, let's say, although I am Shudra, right? And although, that is my swabhav, but at the same time, if I am trying to engage my Shudra nature in devotional service, then that means that that's a Brahminical quality. Is that what you were saying? Or same for Vaishya?
Yeah. I mean, it may not be called a Brahminical quality, but it is a quality that is conducive for devotional service and for getting out of the three modes of material nature.
So what I'm saying is that, how does this look like? If I am Shudra or Vaishya, and I'm being told to develop rabbinical qualities, right? Then what does that look like?
So let's go through this verse where Prabhupada explains this.
I mean, maybe you explained it already, but I think I just didn't understand, maybe.
No, I think I did not explain this, but see, Satyam, I don't know why this is, I'm not able to. Mataji, can you screen share? This is either going up or down, and I think there is a lag. So,
Mataji, I can.
16.123, Bhagavad Gita. So once I was hearing a lecture a long time back from Banu Maharaj, he's very expert in all this. He has translated many books, and even now he's continuing to translate all the Goswami's books. So I remember there was a similar question, and this is how he answered with reference to this shloka. Chapter 16, Mataji, text 1 to 3 from Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, while we're waiting, I just want to make sure that my question is clear, you know, because I'm saying that if we fall under different varnas, but we are trying to develop brahminical qualities, then why is that trying to develop brahminical qualities not an attempt to change our varna from whatever we are to brahmana?
So, yeah, so I understand your question. The thing is, the need for developing a brahminical quality is to do the job of the varna perfectly as a devotional service to the Lord, and not to skip the activities of the varna. That is why he says that, you know, that is in with reference to your thing. Whatever by swabhava, you do it perfectly. Don't copy the others. And towards the end, Mataji, you can control F for Nati Manita. If you find the... yeah, see, this is something there. So here, if you read this purport, he's saying that different things are for different varnashrama. Swadhyaya is for brahmacharya. Tapas or austerity is for retired life. Charity is for householder life. And that way, but there are some qualities that are there for all the varnas and ashramas. See, nati manita, not expecting. See, saucha means cleanliness, not only in mind and body, but in one's dealings also. So it is especially meant for the mercantile people who should not deal in the black market. You see how this quality is relating to the work of them? If they are a Vaishya, then they have to do saucham in their dealings also. Nati manita, not expecting honor, applies to the Shudras, the worker class, which are considered, according to Vedic conventions, to be the lowest of four classes. They should not be puffed up with unnecessary prestige or honor and should remain in their own status. It is the duty of Shudras to offer respect to the higher class for the upkeep of the social order. And also, Nati Manita, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, right? Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Same way, humility. Humility, Srila Prabhupada explains, humility is the starting of knowledge. This is in 8 to 12 verse. Amanitva Madambitva Mahimsa Shanti Rajavam. So humility is the starting of acquiring knowledge, and that humility, he says the same thing, that not having the satisfaction of expecting honor from others. So which is a quality that is for all the, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. Shudras especially, they have to apply it in their life. They should not be puffed up with unnecessary prestige or honor. So is that okay, Mataji?
Yeah, so you're saying that there are certain qualities that all varnas should be trying to develop, right? In order to perform. But in this 16, 1 through 3, at the same time, there are certain qualities that are directed only to specific varnas, right?
Not only that, cleanliness, like we saw, Shaucham, cleanliness for Brahmana doesn't have to be with his dealings, right? Because he doesn't deal in trade. For Brahmana, cleanliness means speaking truth and taking a bath 3 times a day. Keeping, not, you know, taking so many things. He might get lots of charity. But Brahmana means he doesn't work. Technically, Brahmana means he doesn't work to earn his living. But because he's living as a, he is giving guidance, the other people give him some charity. But like that way, he cannot hoard his charity. He also has to take the minimum and keep giving. Whatever he gets as charity, whatever is excess for him, he gives as dana. He keeps giving charity. So cleanliness comes in that point. With respect to his work, he applies like that. But with respect to Vaishyas, he cannot deal with black market because he cannot say lies. He cannot try to hide profit. He cannot, you know, escape, evade tax giving from the king. So it applies to him like that. So that's what I understood.
Yeah, okay. So then the way I understand you is that all of these qualities mentioned in this 16, 1 through 3, they should be qualities that are developed by all the Varnas, but the way these qualities in this 1 through 3 apply to the different Varnas is different according to the Varnas.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's what he, in the purport he says, that for some qualities, Prabhupada says us this, no matter what, in which Varna, everybody has to have. But this, for example, the Shudra should definitely have. This, the Vaishya should have. This, the Kshatriya should have. So like that. So that's why in that verse of after Brahmanical qualifications in 18th chapter, Samo Damas Tapas Saucham Shanti Marjaram Evacha, after that the next verse is Kshatriya qualities. The next verse is qualities of Vaishyas and next verse is quality of Shudra. So Krishna explains all these things. So according developing these qualities, according to the Varna, they again don't come back again to the material world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much for trying so hard with this question.
Thank you, Mataji.
It is clear. It is clearer now. You know, I think, you know, there are certain qualities that are very specific to certain Varnas, but there are also qualities that each Varna is meant to develop, you know, the same qualities, but in different ways according to their varna. So both these things, I think you're saying.
Right. Yes, Mataji. That's my understanding as far as reading and also hearing from devotees. And thank you so much for all your questions, which are one step above our level. That's what I would say. So you make us look into nuances of what the scripture is saying, what to understand and how to apply. So thanks. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you for your clarity, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Are there any further questions for Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Aji Lalitangi, Mataji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. I take 2 minutes only. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Dev Ki Jai, Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So much knowledge you have, Mataji. All the Srila Prabhupada books, you explain from the Sistas to come, different world, different meanings of, you explain from Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Kesho Kashmiri, that is 100 verses and small, small grammatical mistakes. That time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hardly 10 years old. You explain about the Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Both are most intelligent in Ramakeli. There is a bhajan kuti and constantly reading. Both are reading constantly Shishi Bhagavatam, Sanatan Goswami asking different and different avatar format front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all scriptures essence. Then you explain about the deity for performs different level, Atma Rama, and then Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami explained from SB 1.7.10. different level of 63 different level, and then explain about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatan Goswami, six kind of liberation, and then explain about the different kind of transcendental and different between yogi, adharma, and meditating from the super soul, yogi, adharma, and then energy of Lord Vaishnava, and then you explain anybody come in contact with the pure deity, they get the blessing of Lord Chaitanya, liberation, and then deity respect to all Vaishnava, that is touch to heart, then Mahakali, and some are worshipping Mahakali and Chandika, some are worshipping Lord Brahma and Ganesha for material attachment, but Vaishnava are worship Lord Krishna and Srimati Shri Radharani and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna take responsibility of there is so many difficulties came in Vaishnava's life, because this is the last birth. So in 84,000 yoni, whatever they make a aparad, he or she has to cover in this birth. But still Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani is taking care of all Vaishnava. Then from SB 10.15.6, you explain about endeavoring material happiness, and then from Bhajatam, you explain so nicely from Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, devotional service with love, Dadami Enama Upayanti. Devotional service is also endeavor. The meaning of this loka, and then Atmarama and Muni Niragrantha foolish person. So for material Vaishnava, material people, we are a foolish people, but Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said deity has to serve Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with and his spiritual master with love and determination. Then you explain about the endeavor yogi and beginners, Uda Karma, and then world Atma, meaning of Atmarama, not going in a details, Mataji, present mental speculation, then nine chakra, Sargarbha and Vigarbha, Atma and taking mind, and the endeavor. And then you explain from SB 10.15.7, Krishna, Lord Krishna and Lord Balarama, residence of Vrindavana. After that, SB 2.4.18, Pulakesha, Abhirasa, Sambhada, Sambhapasa, Yavana, Khavasa, Sukhdev Goswami is offering his respectful obeisances to all these Vaishnava, those who are worshipping Lord Krishna, Srimati Shri Radharani. Then six Goswami are eating a very dry roti, bati, not roti, bati. Even salt is not there. And they fix that determination service in the Lord Krishna and Srimati Shri Radharani. They eat very minimum. Last I hear that Sanatan Goswami is hardly drink three khobe mein jo aati hai, itni hi buttermilk peete the. So they fix their mind in a Lord Krishna and Srimati Shri Radharani service, and Vacho Vegam, Mansa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Mudra Pasta Vegam. Then that sloka's meaning, then Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and then ABCD, association of deity, and understanding Shishi Bhagavatam, the residence in Sridham Vrindavan Dham, then chanting, perform devotional service, and distributed Srila Prabhupada book, Atma, the meaning of Atmaram, six way, then Swabhavastu and Prautek, and then from SB 10.15.8, then last you explain about the yogi's body, Atma to mean Atmaram and to meaning, and the body, some yogis are doing bodily exercise, how inspiring to do a devotional service, Narad Muni, and the story of Narad Muni and that Huntara, he is not going to argue with them. And when second time, when his guru Narad Muni is going from there, even he is ant ko dekhke apne kapde ko aise aise poch ke kut kut ke chal rahe the, that much sincere devotee he become by the. So the you explain about the what is the mood to serve Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev, and what is the जब हम प्योर ड्यूटी वैष्णव के एसोसिएशन में आते हैं तो क्या फर्क आता है, ये आपने समझाया. देन सनातन गोस्वामी इज 18,000 वर्सेस यू एक्सप्लेन. एंड देन लास्ट चैतन्य चंद्रो फ्रॉम चैतन्य चंद्रोदय मी एंड रस्टी हियरिंग जयप्रताप महाराज लेक्चर एवरी डे 9 o'clock. माताजी somehow remember I by the mercy of H. J. Pataka Maharaj. And then you explain about the Brahmana family, and if somebody is dog eater, but when he came the contact of pure Vaishnava and he get the mercy of spiritual master. And so nicely you explained. And we have to do a we have to wash the temple and the devotees DCs and Lord Krishna and Srimati Sisi Radha ring offering, and that deity cleaning, deities plate cleaning. Srila Prabhupada is so much happy when we clean the temple, when we clean the vessels of the devotee and Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani's plate. We have to do Ekadasi, Ramanavami, Narsinjayati from Hari Vilas Bhakti. And Mataji, it's going on. Please forgive me, take half minute more. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Mataji. Please give your association and blessing to all of us that we can remember and we can follow sincerely your words, Mataji. Hari Hari Kauranga, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Mataji. It's senior Brahmachari is given a class, that much potency in your lecture.
Mataji, you summarized better than the class, really, with your you know, realization and your heart full of love. You told so many points. I am wondering whether I told that or not. An amazing note taking,
no,
Mataji.
As it is, whatever you explain, I speak, Mataji.
No, I mean, so nice. And I wish if I had taken even a little bit of notes like you, I would have become a devotee long time back. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Koti koti.
A wonderful association. Thank you. Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances to Krishna Leela Mataji, who is there, but she's not on video. But Mataji, we are very much thank
Hare
you for
Krishna,
your association.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for you know, coming here and blessing us.
Mataji. So,
Mataji is a very senior devotee. She was in Charlotte for some time and then she moved, but very, very wonderful devotee. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. So nice class and everything. I hear all the devotees.
Yeah, you joined morning, right? You're in West Coast, Mataji, now?
Yeah, Mataji. I'm in the San Francisco.
San Francisco, and you join at 6 o'clock our time, which is 3 o'clock your time. Hari Hari Bol. Yeah. Please give us your blessings, Mataji.
Mataji, you have to bless me too.
Hare Krishna.
So, are there any other final comments or realizations for Mataji? So if there are no more realizations, we can end the call here. I would like to offer my obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpatarupya Sri Kripa Sindhu Bhye Vacha Pratidana Pavane Jo Krishna Vishnu Namo Namah Ananda Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Har Grace Salitangi Radha Mataji Ki Jai
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Bhakta Sangha Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, everyone, for joining.